Are you a legal professional striving to communicate confidently in English? Join us for an episode that unlocks the secrets to success in legal settings. Whether you're a lawyer or a law student, mastering legal English is essential. We're about to dive deep into strategies, tips, and resources that will boost your confidence and effectiveness in the global legal arena. Stick around to discover how you can enhance your language skills and excel in cross-cultural communication. This is a must-listen for anyone seeking an edge in the legal world. The For Legal English podcast is now in session. Welcome to the For Legal English podcast. This is the show for lawyers, law students, and other professionals from all over the world who want to improve both their legal English and legal knowledge. In this podcast, we discuss different legal topics, such as law in the news, law in practice, legal writing, legal movies, and other issues. This podcast does not constitute legal advice. If you need legal advice, consult an attorney. You can check out our blog articles, available courses, and the show notes for this episode on our website. That's four is in the number four, legalenglish, no spaces or dashes, .com. forlegalenglish.com. I'm Timothy Barrett, your host. I'm a former practicing attorney from the United States, more recently a law professor in Tbilisi, Georgia, and currently an author and podcast host, among other things. How to communicate confidently in legal settings. Picture this. You're in a high-stakes meeting with a client or arguing your case in court, but language barriers and communication challenges leave you feeling unsure and insecure. It's a nightmare scenario that every non-native English-speaking lawyer dreads. But with the right strategies and language techniques, you can communicate confidently in any legal setting. In today's episode, we'll explore how to overcome common communication challenges and share tips for mastering legal English so you can succeed in your legal career. Greetings, colleagues. Welcome to the For Legal English podcast, where we unravel the intricacies of the legal world for lawyers and law students from all over the globe. I'm your host, Timothy Barrett, a former practicing attorney and law professor who understands the unique challenges you face in navigating the complexities of the legal profession in English. In today's episode, we're delving into a topic that's not just important, it's absolutely essential: how to communicate confidently in legal settings. Whether you're a seasoned legal professional or just beginning your journey in the world of law, effective communication is the cornerstone of success. That is true in almost every career path, but it is doubly so for lawyers. As lawyers, our ability to articulate our thoughts clearly, understand complex legal jargon, and convey our arguments persuasively is paramount. But for those of us who aren't native English speakers, this can be a daunting challenge. That's why we're here, to provide you with the tools, strategies, and confidence you need to excel in legal English. In this episode, we'll dive deep into the art of confident communication in legal settings. We'll explore everything from understanding legal jargon to enhancing your listening skills, from speaking with authority to mastering nonverbal communication. Along the way, we'll discuss the importance of preparation for legal meetings, negotiations, and presentations. We'll help you gain confidence in your legal writing, ensuring your documents are precise and impactful. We'll even touch on the intricacies of cross-cultural communication, which is increasingly important in our globalized legal landscape. Whether you're representing clients, negotiating contracts, or presenting cases in courtrooms around the world, your ability to communicate confidently can make all the difference. So fasten your seatbelts and get ready to embark on this journey towards becoming a more confident and effective legal communicator. Let's be about it. Understanding the importance of confident communication in legal settings. Welcome back to the Four Legal English Podcast. In this episode, we're embarking on a journey to boost your confidence in legal communication. So let's dive right in. You see, in the world of law, words are our tools, our weapons, and our shields. Every word we speak, write, or present has the potential to shape outcomes, influence decisions, and protect our clients' interests. When I was first starting out as a lawyer, I appeared in front of a judge, Judge Scaglione, who would often say, "Lawyers are gladiators, and words are our weapons." And think about that. That always struck home with me, and even many years later, I still remember it. Of course, everyone likes to think of themselves as a gladiator for some reason, but lawyers really are like fighters, right? We are gladiators in that sense of the word. It may not be physical, but we are fighters. We're fighting for our clients' interests. That's our job. That's our role. And of course, we don't use swords and shields. We use words. The words can be oral, we can speak them, or they can be written, but we use words as our weapons. Would you want to hire a lawyer that is not very articulate, that doesn't use words very well? No. Maybe you're interacting with an engineer or a mechanic or a carpenter, and you know what? They can't communicate very well. They don't communicate well at all. That doesn't mean they're not a good engineer, carpenter, or mechanic. They may be excellent at their work, but their work isn't necessarily speaking in words, using words. But their profession doesn't focus on using words, so you'll forgive them that. But even those people that don't use words well, when they're interacting with their lawyer, if they get the impression that the lawyer is not articulate, that they can't use words very well, they're going to hold that against the lawyer. And of course they should, because a lawyer should be experienced in using words. They should be confident in their communication skills. If not, are they a very good lawyer? Probably not. And of course, as new lawyers, we may still be getting our feet. We're still learning our skill sets, but it's something that we should be actively working on and focusing on and greatly trying to improve as quick as we can. Picture this. You're in a high-stakes negotiation, aiming to secure the best deal for your client. Your counterpart is fluent in English and radiates confidence. They express their points clearly, leaving no room for doubt. How would you feel? For many non-native English-speaking lawyers, situations like this can be intimidating. The fear of stumbling over words, misinterpreting legal nuances, or failing to assert your arguments can be paralyzing. And in this example, you could take out the native speaker or non-native English speaker, and the result is going to be the same. Certainly, I've been in the courtroom or I've been in a negotiating table with lawyers that were very smooth talkers. Sometimes we would say that they have a silver tongue. Even if the facts or the law was against their case, against their client, they could still speak in a way that would almost make you forget it. And it can be very intimidating. The same is true as if you're a new lawyer and you're going against a very experienced lawyer. I remember my very first trial that I was the lead counsel on. You know, I assisted in one or two trials before, but the first trial that was mine, it was a very terrible case. I think that was part of the reason why they gave it to me. They figured, well, we're going to lose it. We might as well give it to the new guy. You know, he can learn some things from it at least. But we were, I don't know, two-thirds or three-quarters of the way through the trial. And I think the judge kind of understood I was in a kind of a bad position, and part of it being the facts of the case, part of it being a novice, being thrown into this case at the last minute. It originally wasn't my case. I remember him during one of the breaks, I think we were waiting for the jury to come back, something like that, but asking opposing counsel, you know, how many trials has he had? The defense counsel, who had the reputation of being one of the best defense counsels in the greater area around this courthouse, said this was, I don't even remember the number, but it was like 100 or 500 or 1,000 or something. I mean, it was definitely over 100. It was many, many trials. And I'm fairly certain that the judge knew this, maybe not the exact number, but knew approximately. And it was just kind of trying to help me out, help me gain a little bit more confidence, kind of saying, without saying it, letting me know, don't worry about it. This is your first trial, and this is his, you know, 100th or 500th or whatever number it was. So it can be definitely intimidating when one lawyer has some kind of advantage like that, whether it being, you know, just years of being a lawyer, their language, their communication skill is much better, or they're a native English speaker and you're not. There's only so much you can do. If you're not a native English speaker, well, you really can't change that. If opposing counsel has, 25 years of experience and you don't, the only way to change that is to wait 25 years, right? And then you'll have 25 years experience. But that's not going to help you today. So some things really can't be changed in that regard. But your communication skills, your English speaking skills, your oral advocacy skills are something that can be changed. And the more time that you spend on that and work on that and improve on that, then of course your confidence is going to improve as well. It's definitely worth working on. So here's another truth. English fluency, especially in legal contexts in today's world, can transform your career. It's not just about words, it's about confidence. The kind of confidence that can sway judges, win cases, and clinch deals. At 4 Legal English, it's one of the themes, I think it's on our homepage, where I talk about increase your competence and increase your confidence. Because the more competent you become, the more knowledgeable, the more of an expert you become, your confidence is going to increase as well. And that's why we're here today. Over the course of this episode, we'll equip you with the essential tools to communicate confidently, no matter the legal setting. You'll learn to tackle legal jargon, sharpen your listening skills, and project authority in every conversation. But let me leave you with a powerful thought. When you communicate confidently, you don't just convey your message, you embody your expertise. So remember, confident communication isn't just a skill. It's your key to unlocking success in the legal profession. Stick with us as we navigate this exciting journey together. Understanding legal jargon. In this segment, we'll tackle a challenge every lawyer encounters, legal jargon. Stay tuned as we unravel its mysteries and equip you with the tools to master it. Legal jargon, those complex, seemingly cryptic terms and phrases, is as common in law as courtrooms and briefcases. It's the language of the profession, and mastering it is essential. But why is it so prevalent? Complexity and precision. Legal matters often involve intricate details and nuances. Jargon helps lawyers express these complexities with precision, preserving tradition. Much of legal jargon is deeply rooted in tradition and history, maintaining continuity in the legal world. Indeed, there are some words or phrases that we use as lawyers that used to be common in everyday English, but everyday English has kind of moved on. They don't use this word or this language in that way anymore, but in the law, we still use that phrase. Clarity among professionals. Lawyers worldwide use jargon to ensure clear communication among themselves. Examples of common legal terms. Let's demystify legal jargon with a few examples. I'm sure some of these you've heard. Maybe all of them. Let me know in the comments in the show notes. Habeas corpus. This Latin term guarantees a person's right not to be unlawfully detained. Tort. A tort refers to a civil wrong that causes harm to another person. Pro bono. Often heard, even outside the legal context, it means providing legal services for free, typically to those who can't afford them. A lot of law firms will make sure that they offer pro bono legal services, helping the community that they're in. Now, of course, we can't go through all the legal terms. But if you want to learn more, check out the Elemental Business English course. We go through a lot of the vocabulary, the lexicon that's found in legal English. Strategies for mastering legal terminology. Now the million-dollar question, how can you master these terms? Build your legal vocabulary. You can create flashcards or a list of legal terms, their meanings, and usage. In the courses we offer, we include online flashcards. So the flashcard has the word, and you have to think of the definition, and then you hit the button to flip the card, and then make sure that you understood the word. Of course, the definition doesn't have to be exact, but if you didn't understand the meaning or you got the meaning wrong, the then you just mark that you got it wrong, and then you kind of go through all the cards, and each time you go through them, the ones that you understood go away, and so then you're left with the cards, the words that you had trouble with. And so that's a great way to improve your vocabulary. Another way is contextual learning. Understand the context in which these terms are used. It's key to grasping their real meaning. And you can work on this by reading legal documents, court decisions, or law articles from law journals or other experts using the terms in context. The first time you encounter that term, that phrase, it might be very challenging, but as you see it more and more, it becomes easier and easier. You understand it. Legal dictionaries. You can invest in reliable legal dictionaries or use online resources, but make sure it's a legal dictionary. When I went to law school in the library, they had big tables, I think, with six students at the table, and in the middle was a Black's Law Dictionary. And especially your first year, but even the second or third years, you do it as well. But especially that first year, you know, every one of us would be reading something, and then you pull the dictionary, you go through, you look up something, and then you put it back, then somebody else is grabbing it. You know, sometimes you have to wait because it was very useful. You're coming across terms that you hadn't seen before or you hadn't seen in a legal context. And most of my classmates were native English speakers, but it was a whole new language. It was this legal English that we all had to learn. Another technique is engage in mock scenarios. Practice legal conversations and scenarios to apply what you've learned. For law students, it's great to take part in moot courts or mediation, arbitration, other type of scenarios like that, because they get to actually use English and argue their side of the case, both in writing, when they write written responses, and of course, orally, when they're making their arguments in person. And the more practice they get, the better they're going to be. Same thing for practicing lawyers, of course. In a lot of large law firms or large law offices, if there's going to be a major argument, it could be in trial or maybe an appellate argument, especially in front of a state Supreme Court or certainly the U.S. Supreme Court, they'll often have these mock trials even within their own law firm. They'll ask other lawyers to sit in, ask questions, make, you know, counter arguments, play the role of the opposing counsel, because the more practice they have doing that, the easier it will be in the real life situation. And of course, another technique, ask questions. Don't hesitate to ask colleagues or mentors when you come across unfamiliar terms. It's always good to have someone, or even better, several people that you can ask. When you do networking events and you start meeting other people, you know, within your firm, but also outside of your firm, it's good to build that network of people. Gee, I came across this term. Can we talk about this? Of course, three more great ways to improve your knowledge of legal jargon would be to take courses with 4 Legal English. Like I said, the Elemental Business English course, as well as their other courses, but especially that course has a great amount of lexicon. We'll teach you a great amount of the legal lexicon, the words, terms, and phrases that you'll need to master in order to become the best attorney that you can be. For those that want a little bit more attention, I do offer one-on-one tutoring. We call it the Legal English Conversational Course. So check that out or contact me through the website if you want to learn more. And of course, listening to podcasts such as the 4 Legal English Podcast is a great way to improve your legal English knowledge. Legal jargon is your ally, not your adversary. By understanding its prevalence, learning common terms, and employing effective strategies, you'll soon navigate the maze of legal English with confidence. If you're enjoying today's episode, please subscribe. It would really help us out if you gave us 5 stars and a review. Remember to go to our website, 4 LegalEnglish, no spaces or dashes, .com, 4LegalEnglish.com. Check out our blog articles, available courses, and the show notes for this episode. And I encourage you to comment. At the bottom of the show notes, you can leave a comment or ask a question. This is a great way to practice and improve your legal English skills. Our flagship course that we offer is Elemental Legal English.
This is a completely online course that you can complete at your own pace. It has 12 modules, which normally would be a 12-week semester course. There's plenty of learning content, as well as exercises to reinforce what you've learned. If you're looking to improve your vocabulary or understanding of legal English concepts, this is a great course to get started with. If you go to our website, look for Elemental Legal English, and I'll leave a link in the show notes as well.
Effective listening skills. In this section of the podcast, we'll unravel the importance of effective listening skills in the legal world. Let's dive into the art of active listening and strategies to elevate your comprehension. The importance of active listening. Effective listening is not a passive act, but a skill that can make or break your legal career. Here's why it matters. Gathering information. Lawyers must absorb vast amounts of information, from client consultations to court proceedings. Building rapport. Active listening builds trust with clients and colleagues, fostering stronger professional relationships. Legal research. Accurate interpretation of legal documents and statutes hinges on precise listening. Techniques for improving listening comprehension. Becoming an active listener takes practice and dedication. Here are some techniques to help. Stay focused. Concentrate solely on the speaker, eliminating distractions. It's hard to do in today's world, but try to work on this. Ask clarifying questions. Don't hesitate to seek clarification when you encounter unfamiliar terms or concepts. Note-taking. Develop effective note-taking skills to capture crucial details. This is very important for lawyers. When you hear details, you hear facts, you want to record them. You want to memorialize them, write them down so you don't lose them. Paraphrasing. Reiterate what you've heard in your own words to ensure understanding. This can be very important, especially when there's a language barrier, but even when there's not a language barrier. Someone tells you a story. If you can repeat the story to them, you know, use your own words, and they say, yes, exactly, that's what happened, then you understand what happened. But a lot of times when you repeat it, you paraphrase it, you put what they said in your words, then you learn, oh, no, that's not what happened. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to imply that. What actually happened was, you know, this other thing. And then you kind of keep doing that until your understanding matches their understanding. And this is very important, especially when you're talking to non-lawyers. Sometimes they're thinking about, sometimes what's important to them is not really important to you. You know, maybe they're saying, oh, the person did this and they looked at me this way and then this happened. Well, maybe you don't care about how the other person looked. You know, that's not important. But what they did was important. You know, did they, you know, what happened first? What happened next? You know, you're looking for certain things that you know are important in the law, but your client may not understand that, or a witness may not understand that. So you want to make sure you understand what actually happened. Empathetic listening. Understand the emotional context of what's being said. It can reveal hidden nuances. I used to work with domestic violence victims and then a lot in family law, and this was always an issue. It's one thing if you're just a witness to a car accident, but you're a witness involving family issues, often they can be very emotional, and of course they are. It's very understandable. Resources for practicing legal listening skills. To hone or improve your listening skills, take advantage of some of these resources. Legal podcasts. Tune into podcasts that focus on legal discussions and cases, such as the Four Legal English podcast. They provide exposure to real-world legal conversations. But also listening to other podcasts. You know, maybe it's just about a topic that you enjoy. It doesn't have anything to do with the law. But by listening, and make sure that you understand what's going on, even if you have it in the background, you know, maybe at the end of the episode, or pause it in the middle, and then rephrase it. Put it in your words. What is the speaker talking about? What did they discuss? If they tell a story, put that story into your words. Can you fully explain that story? Especially when you're talking in English, that's a great way to test your listening skills and also work on your speaking skills. Courtroom recordings. Listen to courtroom proceedings or trials. Many jurisdictions make these recordings available online. Especially as a law student or a new lawyer, I always found it fascinating to sit in the courtroom and just watch what was going on. When I was new in the prosecutor's office, everyone would pay attention to especially opening arguments and closing arguments, because there you get to see the lawyers really shine. So, gee, I want to hear what my colleague is going to say, but I also want to hear the opposing counsel. You know, maybe I have a case with them coming up. I want to know what their style is like as well. So it's always interesting to listen, see what you can learn. I don't know if a lot of trial courts are available online, but I know that there are a lot of legal YouTubers, such as Riketa Law and some others, that will watch important trials. They did it with the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial and some other trials. It's interesting to watch the trial, you know, with them, or sometimes they'll have 5 or 6 or even 10 other lawyers all kind of chiming in, giving their 2 cents. So sometimes that can be very entertaining and very informative. But also, at least in the United States, appellate courts, especially the U.S. Supreme Court, all of their oral arguments are available online. U.S. federal courts don't allow cameras in the courtrooms. That's why you'll often see drawings, you know, someone with the colored pencils or something drawing what happens in the courtroom, but they are audio recorded. So sometimes it's very interesting to listen to some of the Supreme Court oral arguments, and you can hear some of the arguments made by the lawyers, and you hear some of the questions posed by the judges. You can kind of understand where they are coming from or what their thoughts are by what kind of questions they ask. Another resource, language learning apps. Apps like Duolingo, Rosetta Stone, or Babbel offer language courses that can help improve your comprehension. And online courses. Enroll in courses specifically designed for legal listening comprehension. They often include exercises and quizzes. Like check out forlegalenglish.com and see some of the courses that we have available. Active listening is your superpower as a legal professional. It enhances your understanding, fosters trust, and ultimately leads to better outcomes for your clients. Speaking with authority. In this section, we're diving into the art of speaking with authority in legal settings. Effective verbal communication is your ticket to confidence and success. Let's get started. Confidence is key when it comes to legal communication. Here's how you can project authority through your speech. Tone. Maintain a steady, authoritative tone. Avoid speaking too softly or too loudly. Pacing. Speak at a moderate pace. Avoid rushing through your words, which can make you sound unsure or nervous. Clarity. Enunciate your words clearly. Precision in pronunciation enhances your message's impact. I often describe it as loud, slow, and clear. Even when I trained native English speakers who are new lawyers, I would tell them loud, slow, and clear. You generally, when you are nervous, you tend to speak softly. So I encourage you to speak louder. Even if you think you're speaking too loud, you're probably not, especially if you tend to be nervous or you're new to this, speak louder. And speak slowly. Normally, we get nervous. We speak very, very quickly, and it shows that we're nervous. And also, doesn't give us enough time to think about what we are saying. And especially if you're a non-native English speaker, you have to think really about 2 different things. You know, one, what argument are you going to make? You know, how are you going to answer this question? What question are you going to answer? You know, the substantive part of what you are doing. But of course, also, how do you explain this in English, since this is not your native language? So by speaking very quickly, you don't give your mind enough time to really unpack all that information and speak the best way that you can speak. And clearly, a lot of times, even native English speakers, they get nervous or whatever. They start to kind of mumble, you know, they kind of mumble. It's very difficult to understand them, especially when they're speaking fast and they're speaking soft. Throw in mumble, and how can anyone understand them? So you want to speak clearly. And if you're a non-native English speaker, this is, of course, even more important. You know, maybe your pronunciation isn't the best. And if you're getting nervous, often that pronunciation gets worse. So you want to do your best to speak clearly. So loud, slow, and clear. Exercises for improving your speaking skills. Here are some exercises to enhance those speaking skills. Tongue twisters. Daily practice with tongue twisters can improve enunciation. If you haven't checked out my other site, For Business English, you can watch these on YouTube. Look for For Business English Rundown. But I had a long series of tongue twisters in the YouTube shorts. So these are just kind of short sayings, and try to say them, you know, three times fast. And even as a native English speaker, it can be very tricky. That's why we call them tongue twisters. So check that out on the For Business English Rundown on YouTube. Mock trials. As we talked about before, participate in mock trials or debates to practice speaking confidently under pressure. Public speaking courses. Consider enrolling in public speaking courses or workshops to develop your skills. If your city has a Toastmaster International, that's another great way to improve your speaking skills. Recording yourself. Record your speeches or conversations and review them for areas of improvement. Or if you're practicing, you know, for an important conversation, an important argument, record yourself, either video or just audio, and then listen to yourself. That can be very painful, but listen to yourself and see what you can improve. And finally, legal vocabulary drills. Practice using legal terminology in everyday sentences to build fluency. So remember, your voice is your legal instrument. With the right tone, pacing, and clarity, you can assert your authority and leave a lasting impression. Remember, loud, slow, and clear. Nonverbal communication. In this section, we're diving into the world of nonverbal communication and how it shapes perceptions of confidence. Let's get started. First of all, what do we mean by nonverbal communication? So with verbal, we mean words. So nonverbal, you know, not using words, but yet we're still communicating. So that is often called body language, how we use our body. Obviously, our head is a big part of that, where our eyes are looking, the facial expressions we have, what our face looks like, are we smiling, frowning, that sort of thing. But also the rest of our body. You know, are we sitting or standing tall, or are we kind of slouched? What are we doing with our arms, especially our hands? Sometimes if you're nervous, you move the hands kind of fidgety, or are you using your hands maybe to emphasize important points? So those hand gestures could be emphasizing, you know, adding to your verbal communication, or they could be distracting. Instead of listening to you, maybe they're just watching what you're doing with your hands. So that's what we mean by nonverbal communication. The role of body language and gestures. Nonverbal communication often speaks louder than words, especially in legal settings. Here's how body language and gestures can convey confidence. Posture. Stand or sit up straight. Good posture indicates confidence and attentiveness. Eye contact. Maintain steady eye contact with your audience. It shows you're engaged and confident. Gestures. Use purposeful gestures to emphasize points. Avoid excessive fidgeting, which can signal nervousness. Cultural considerations. It's essential to be aware of cultural differences in nonverbal communication. In some cultures, maintaining intense eye contact may be seen as confrontational, while in others, it signifies attentiveness. Be respectful of these nuances. Growing up in the United States, I was always taught it's very important to look someone in the eye when you are talking to them or they're talking to you. And of course, when meeting someone for the first time, to give a firm handshake. But of course, some cultures may be different. Developing strong nonverbal communication skills. How can you enhance your nonverbal communication skills? One way is through observation. Pay attention to how confident individuals use body language. Emulate their positive cues. So find someone whose body language you like and watch them. Observe what do they do with their body language. Practice. Practice your body language in front of a mirror or record yourself and make adjustments. Feedback. Seek feedback from mentors or peers on your nonverbal communication. Your body language is a powerful tool for projecting confidence. By mastering posture, eye contact, and purposeful gestures, you can enhance your legal communication skills. Preparing for legal meetings and negotiations. Importance of preparation. Preparation is the foundation of confidence. When you are well prepared, you naturally exude confidence. Here's why preparation is crucial. Knowledge. In-depth knowledge of the subject matter boosts your confidence during discussions. Anticipating questions. Preparedness allows you to anticipate questions and have well-thought-out answers. Control. It gives you a sense of control over the situation, reducing anxiety. Here's a checklist for preparation. To ensure you're well-prepared for legal meetings and negotiations, consider this checklist. Research. Thoroughly research the topic, case, or issue at hand. Find out as much as you can before the meeting. Documentation. Organize all necessary documents, contracts, or evidence. Nothing is worse than being in the middle of a meeting and realize you need that one document, but you didn't print it, or maybe you have it, but you cannot find it in the stack of stuff that you brought. So it pays to be organized. Agenda. Create a clear agenda outlining the meeting's objectives. What are your goals from this meeting? Or what is your client's goals? What is the other side's goals from this meeting? Mock scenarios. Practice by simulating the meeting or negotiation. If you can round up a friend or a colleague and have them act as the other person in the meeting and listen to your pitch, your proposal, your argument, whatever it is, and either give you feedback or even better, play the part of the other side, that will help you prepare. And of course, if you can't find someone, you can do it by yourself. Sit in a room by yourself and make the argument, make the pitch, whatever the meeting's about, and go through the motions, even if it's by yourself. That can be very helpful. Questions. Prepare questions that you may be asked and your responses. So spend some time thinking about, what will the other side ask me? What are they concerned about? After hearing my argument, my pitch, my presentation, what are they most likely to ask about? And then prepare responses to that. And maybe even include some of the responses, some of the answers in your presentation so they don't even have to ask the questions. Remember, preparation is your best ally in legal meetings and negotiations. With knowledge, organization, and anxiety management, you'll exude confidence. Overcoming language barriers. In this section, we're going to address a challenge many non-native English speakers in the legal field encounter: overcoming language barriers. Understanding the hurdles. It's important to acknowledge the hurdles that non-native English speakers may face in legal contexts. These can include vocabulary limitations, not having an extensive vocabulary or legal vocabulary in English. Grammar and pronunciation, struggling with complex sentence structures or pronunciation. Fear of miscommunication, the fear of being misunderstood or misinterpreting what someone else says or misinterpreting legal concepts. Tips for effectively overcoming language barriers. Overcoming these barriers is crucial for confident communication. Here are some tips. build your legal vocabulary, continuously expand your legal English vocabulary through courses and reading, practice pronunciation, work on proper pronunciation of legal terms and phrases, use simplified language. When appropriate, simplify your language to ensure clarity. Seek clarification. Don't hesitate to ask for clarification if you're unsure about something. Engage in conversation. Engage in English conversations and discussions regularly to improve fluency. Importance of seeking clarification. Seeking clarification is vital. If you don't understand something in a legal context, it's better to ask for clarification than to make assumptions that could lead to misunderstandings or errors. Remember, seeking clarification demonstrates your commitment to accuracy and understanding. Language barriers can be overcome with dedication and practice. Lexicon. Here are some words from today's episode that might be kind of advanced or tricky for you. If you want to learn the definitions from these words, check out the show notes at 4legalenglish.com. That's 4 is in the number 4, legalenglish, no spaces or dashes, .com/podcast. And look for today's show notes. Checklist. Clarity. Comprehension. Convey. Cross-cultural. Jargon. Nonverbal. Overcoming. Pacing. Proficiency. Projection. Self-improvement. As we bring this episode to a close, let's recap the main takeaways. We've delved into the world of confident communication in legal settings. Remember, understanding legal jargon, mastering legal terminology is key to effective communication. Effective listening skills. Active listening can significantly improve your comprehension. Speaking with authority. Loud, slow, and clear matters in conveying confidence. Remember, loud, slow, and clear, because your tone, pacing, and clarity matter in conveying confidence. Nonverbal communication. Don't underestimate the power of body language and gestures. Preparation. Being well-prepared boosts your confidence before legal interactions. Overcoming language barriers. Seek clarification when needed and never stop learning. Building confidence over time is a journey, not a destination. Continuous learning and practice are your allies. I want to thank you for joining us today. We have more exciting episodes and topics lined up for future releases. Every Wednesday, we have a new episode dropping. So stay tuned and be sure to subscribe to the podcast. If you found this episode valuable, please consider sharing it with your colleagues and leaving feedback. What questions do you have about today's episode? You can post those questions or any comments on the show notes. This is a great way to practice and improve your legal English skills. You can go to the website 4, as in the number 4, legalenglish.com. No spaces or dashes, .com, forlegalenglish.com. You can check out our blog articles and show notes for this episode, and check out the episode quizzes. It'd be fantastic if you could subscribe and give us a review. If you could leave us 5 stars and a nice comment, it would really help the algorithm and other people to find our podcast. If you leave a great review, I might even read it on the air. So start writing. The 4 Legal English Podcast is adjourned. Don't miss the next docket call.